relate with people. Some of them actually have some systems of training, of educating their leaders, their teachers, some even their followers. And some are quite successful. Now, usually, what's the sign that you have an ISKCON temple? Is you call and nobody picks up the phone. Right? Because everybody's too busy doing service for Krishna. So nobody can pick up the phone. Right? But that's usually the last time you call that company if they don't pick up the phone. Like you want to book an airline ticket, right? And it's always, you know, it's always busy. So then you feel like, hey, why bother, right? These people can't give me any service, so why should I bother? I go somewhere else. So that's exactly what's happening. So this third session today, we're going to focus on the character of an ideal ISKCON representative. And we're going to hear from Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada is the ideal personality. Do we have, is the cable working? No, but this doesn't work. This is like broken or something. There's nothing. You have to turn it up.
There is no practical. I have no personal qualification, but I simply tried to satisfy my guru. That's all.
Yeah, it's not a question about reducing. Minimum, yeah, but you have to turn it up.
Get some money to print books. So we have to simply
louder.
Take instruction from Guru, and if we execute that to our heart and soul, that is success. That is practical. I have no personal qualification, but I simply try to satisfy my Guru. That's all. My Guru Maharaj asked me that if you get some money, you print books. So, there was a private meeting talking, some of my important God brothers also there, it was in Radhakunda. So, Guru Maharaj was speaking to me that since we have got this Bhagavajar marble temple, there has been so many dissensions. And everyone is thinking we'll occupy this room or that room, that room. I wish therefore to sell this temple and the marble and print some book. Yes. So I took up this from his mouth that he is very fond of books. And he told me personally that if you get some money, print books. Therefore I am stressing on this point. Where is book? Where is book? Where is book? So kindly help me. This is my request. Print as many books in as many languages and distribute throughout the whole world. Then Krishna consciousness movement will automatically increase.
Srila Prabhupada ki. So, we have a small scenario. It is, you have to get your appendix removed. You know there's trouble there in your digestion and there's too much pain. So if you have to have your appendix removed from your intestines, and there is two choices. There is one person, he is a very God-fearing man, he's very religious, very honest, very pious, going to temple, worshipping. And he is an impeccable person. And by profession, he's a plumber. You know, plumbing? So, same thing like intestines, no? It's like tubes and stuff is going through, liquids, this, that, the other thing. So, you can get your appendix removed by this plumber. Or there is another person, he's a surgeon. He's top surgeon, very qualified. But it has come to notice that sometimes he does, you know, take out other things than required and sell organs on the black market. So, which person would you take as your surgeon to have your appendix removed? You're not too enthusiastic about the prospects, about the choice. Both are not exactly what you would like. Can we put these lights on? We won't need the projector for now. Why is the first person not exactly your choice of candidate? What does he have and what is he lacking? Can you tell us? The plumber. Okay, who understood the plumber?
He has good character.
Yes.
But he don't have skill.
Okay, character is there, but skill is lacking. Second person, what is there?
He has skill, but he doesn't have character.
Skill is there, but character is not there.
He's not reliable.
So, you would choose none of the two, right? So, a lot of times you're faced with this scenario. That you have the choice of a person who is very skilled but of dubious character, or a person has great character but not so much skills. So right now, in our own dealings, many times we would say we'd rather prefer person number one because his character is good. And his skill, you know, we might not take him as a surgeon, but we might take him as a plumber. Or we might let him do some other kind of work, some other kind of job. So Srila Prabhupada stressed character development in, I remember it was early 1970s. There was about 400 or 500 devotees in the movement. Srila Prabhupada said, now we have enough devotees. Let's boil the milk. Let's just train who we have in Krishna consciousness. And then we can actually make a difference. Now, it's 2010. It's 40 years later. We have how many members in our ISKCON movement? Take a wild guess. Any estimate? Huh? Maybe 500,000? Approximately. Around the world? Probably about. Huh? Anywhere, 500,000 to 1,000,000 people who consider themselves followers of ISKCON. So, but how much quality do we have? How many can actually make a difference in the sense that they're able to fully represent the ISKCON movement in any situation at any given point in time? Huh? That is not such an easy thing to do. But it is the importance of us as leaders in this ISKCON movement, first of all, to train ourselves to come to a level of proficiency, and then to train and empower others to do the same. Because when the people meet you on the street, what do they say? They say Hare Krishna. And Hare Krishna means, for them, you are Hare Krishna. You are ISKCON. Like many times we wonder, what's a member? What's a member of this movement? How much rounds you chant? How much you follow? How much you come to programs? Have you taken initiation? Or you might see it in another way. What's a member? Whoever actually abides by the teachings of Prabhupada, whoever chants Hare Krishna, whoever follows the process, is a member of this Hare Krishna movement. So for the public, any encounter they have with a person who is coming from this ISKCON movement, for them, that's a member of ISKCON. They're not going to ask, okay, so how many rounds do you chant? How many principles? Who is your guru? That's not what they're going to ask. But for them, we are representing ISKCON. So that puts a lot of emphasis, that puts a lot of importance, that puts a lot of weight on our shoulders. Now, if you go and you want to learn any kind of job, like we had the heart surgeon, if you want to be a doctor, how many years do you have to study? Do we have any medical practitioners here? Doctors, professors? How many years do you have to study? 5.5. That's just general study. After that, you have to go for specialization. How many years is that? 2 years. So, takes you 7.5 years, minimum, just to cover the basics. And after that, you're nowhere. You've just done what it took. Then you're starting. So you're not making any money till you're 30, right? Till you're 30, you're just in school, you're just studying. I have a friend, a devotee, in Washington, D.C. He's working one of the biggest hospitals in the United States. There's about 5,000 beds there in Washington, D.C. And he's an anesthetist. You know, he puts people to sleep when they do the operation. And I asked him, when you do your job, how often do you have case studies? How often do you have students who are watching? Can we turn this down a little bit? Because it's kind of giving echo. So he said, there is not one operation in this hospital where there is not students present who are watching. There is not one operation happening in this 5,000-bed hospital without having students there who do on-the-job training. There's about 5 or 6 medical colleges who are affiliated with this hospital. And all the future doctors are a little bit more. All the future doctors are going there to assist other doctors and to watch, to see what's going on. Now I'm asking you, as the leaders of ISKCON, how many people are you training? How many people are you bringing up to do what you're doing right now? Anybody training 5 people? 4, 3, 2, 1? Anybody has one assistant whom he or she trusts to replace them? I know you don't want anybody to replace you, because you're so attached to your service. But you know what's the goal of management, the goal of leadership? Is you train people so that what you're doing right now, somebody else can do it tomorrow. Because believe me or not, we're not going to be here tomorrow. Because we're going to get old. We're going to be the old guys. We're going to be the guys who are chanting, you know? So at one point, somebody else has to actually start doing the work. So if somebody else is supposed to do the job tomorrow, that means today, we have to start training the guy. Why is it that the Marvaris are so good at business? Do they go to get MBAs? Do they go and study for 15 years? No. What do? They send them to uncle, right? And uncle's got a job for him in his business. Maybe a small job, you know? But he sticks it out in the business, and after being around and learning everything about the business, he runs the business. And eventually he gets the business from his dad, and he'll actually be very successful in doing what he's doing. So if you want to have a well-flourishing temple, a well-flourishing community, a well-flourishing Sankirtan department, you have to start training people to do what you're doing. Because otherwise, it's not going to go anywhere. Like right now in ISKCON, let's face it, it's 2010. It's quite a bit of time after Srila Prabhupada left this world. Many of Prabhupada's disciples have started passing on. Many have stopped being active in managerial positions because of health issues, because of different circumstances. Many have passed on just to be preachers, teachers, writers, authors. So if we do not recruit, train, and empower a new generation of ISKCON leaders, managers, temple presidents, GBCs, what will happen in 5 to 20 years from now? Anybody? Anybody's got an idea of what will happen? Not exactly resolved, but it will be very weak. You'll have what's called a generation gap. You have a missing generation. And that's very unfortunate. That's very unfortunate. So if we don't want that to happen, then we have to start working like anything to recruit intelligent class of men and women and train them and empower them in Krishna consciousness. Now, what's the criteria? What's the criteria? What is it? What quality is it that we are looking for in a person when we recruit? Because, you know, like, I'm in Mayapur a lot, so I'm a little bit, my example's a little bit colored with the West Bengal flavor. So, if you want to get a lot of people, what do you do? What do you do? You hand out flags, you give everybody 50 rupees, and you feed them lunch, right? And then you get lakhs of people, and they will march for you. And they will say, you know, Jyoti Vasu ki jai, and this guy ki jai, and that guy ki jai. And they will do whatever you tell them to do. But as soon as you stop paying them 50 rupees and giving them lunch, they will not show up. Now, in our ISKCON society, we're trying to recruit people. We're trying to get people to join our movement, to become affiliated, to become connected, to become involved. So what character, what is it that we're looking for in a person? What is it? You know, goals, start with the goal with the end in mind. Remember? Clear expectations. So what do we expect? Faith. What else? What are you looking for in a person? Like, so many people come to your temple and they start talking about how their grandmother used to worship Lord Balaji, and they start talking to you about their business, how successful they are and how much money they got. They start talking to you about how much they donated to charity, how many hospitals and schools they built. What are you looking for? Yes?
Someone who's loyal and grateful.
Someone who's loyal and grateful. Why are you looking for somebody who's loyal and grateful?
Because they value what has been done and they will carry on with what has been done.
What was the first part?
They will value what has been done for them.
Very good point.
And they will carry on the same mission.
Did you get that? They will value what has already been achieved and they will carry on the tradition. It's a very important point. Because being loyal means that you appreciate what has been done by the people before you. Like, so many times you have seen people come in here and said, you know, in the past it was all bad. And now it's going to be all different. It's going to be all good. Why doesn't that go well with you? Why do you kind of shake your head and feel like, hey, whoa? Why? Because, first of all, it's ingratitude. This person is not grateful. He hasn't been there in the past. He didn't know how difficult it was for the people in the past to pull off and to do what they had to do in order to get it off the ground. Second of all, they're talking like this now about the people of the past. But if they're talking like this about other people, they will talk about you in the same way to somebody else. So somebody who talks bad, who talks down on others, they will talk down on you when you're not there. Now, people who are grateful and who are loyal, they're people who will carry on. Now, these two qualities, gratitude and loyalty, these are signs of character. Now, that's what we're looking for. Skills can be trained. Skills you can acquire. You can train a person to do almost anything. But character Is that something you can just teach a person overnight or in a few hours? How long does it take to build character? Why is it that many times we are recruiting or we're getting substandard quality of people to become involved in our movement, and we are spending blood, sweat, and tears just to bring them up to the platform of human beings? Years just to bring them up to a platform where we feel like, okay, now he's a human being. And then what generally happens, they go out and leave ISKCON, and they go out into the job world. And they say, thank you very much for training me up. Now I can go out and make money and be successful. Have you ever seen that happen? So we should be very vigilant. We should be very careful not to lower our standards. Because Srila Prabhupada, he was very fixed. He was very strict. It's like here, you have all these nice quotes by Srila Prabhupada. And please do read them in the break or so. Prabhupada made it very clear. He said, we want people of the highest moral, of the highest character. Because that is actually what is attractive. That is actually what is bringing people towards Krishna consciousness. So character development is of utmost importance. And it is not something that is just over at one point. We can't say, okay, now we are a member, we are initiated, we have position, so the job is done, the job is over. But it is an ongoing process. It is something which is continuing. I'd like to introduce to you the concept of becoming an ambassador of goodwill. Can somebody explain to us what an ambassador is? Please. Like if you would be the ambassador of India to in Switzerland, what would you do?
Just is expressing the requirements of that authority.
You would be representing India
in
Switzerland. So even though usually your name may be Sanjeev Kumar, but to the people in Switzerland, you're not Sanjeev Kumar.
Yeah.
You are India.
Yeah.
And whatever they do to you, they do to India.
Yes.
Like just now recently, a couple of months back, I don't know whether you follow politics, and I don't want to bore your mind, but since you're in contemplative and digestive mode, just a couple of months back, a son of Muammar Gaddafi, one of his sons was in Geneva, and he was mistreating one of the maids, one of the employees in a hotel. And the government there arrested him and put criminal charge on him because he, assault and battery. Now, what happened? In Tripolis, in Libya, Gaddafi, he closed down the Swiss embassy. He said, all you people, you go home. We don't need you. They closed the offices of about half a dozen of the major corporations who were there. You know, they closed them down. They said, you guys can all go home. And later on, when the conflict got real bad, they arrested two people and took them hostage. Just because his son had been disrespected, or what he perceived as disrespect. So, becoming an ambassador of goodwill means becoming a true ISKCON representative. Means we understand that each and every of our actions, of our words, and of our deeds will be taken as representing this ISKCON movement. So that puts a lot of weight, that puts a lot of responsibility on us. Now, sometimes we may not be up to the job. We may think, oh, I got a private life, and I got a professional life, and I have a devotional life, and I have, you know, whatever. And we try to see things separate. But if you look at the life of Srila Prabhupada, was Srila Prabhupada different when he was on the morning walk than when he was in the temple room, or when he was giving class, or when he was writing his book, or when he was talking with people, with guests in his room? Was he a different Prabhupada? He was consistent. He's the same person in each and every situation. Otherwise, as soon as people see inconsistency, they lose faith. As soon as they see inconsistency, doubts will arise. And doubts are like demons. They will destroy the faith. Now, faith is something very precious. It's a very precious commodity. Just like a tree. If you have a tree, it may take you hundreds and hundreds of years to grow a tree. I heard mango trees just take 10 years to give you fruits. Now that's a long time, isn't it? 10 years. How long does it take you to cut down a mango tree?
10 minutes.
10 minutes. 10 years growing, 10 minutes, it's finished. If you have one of these chainsaws, it may take you 10 seconds. Not even that, just zip, and it's gone. So, it may take 10 years to build a person's faith in ISKCON. You know, over the time. Positive interactions, slowly, slowly, they're getting closer. And within one interaction, it can be finished. It can be cut. So, to become an ambassador of goodwill means different things. First of all, to be exemplary, to be accountable. We'll get more into that in the management part. But since today, actually the whole day today is about character, character development. Now I got a question to you. Can you actually build character? Do you have you seen people change?
Yeah.
You do? Very nice. Can you give us some examples?
Many of us in this corner are examples. Because of Prabhupada, we have changed ourselves.
We are all sitting here.
Yes.
So the example is right here. We all know how we were before, what character, what lifestyle, and we can see what we're doing now. Now many times, we do not want to believe that it's possible that somebody can change. Why? Because we don't want to change. Right? Because we say, I don't want to change. I'm very happy the way I'm doing things. So that's why I'm saying nobody can change. If you're one time bad, you're always bad. If you're one time good, you're always good. But that's not our philosophy. Because we know Nitya Siddha Krishna Bhakti Sadhya Kabunoi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitta Koryadoi. We know that every living entity inherent in their own true nature is a spirit soul and is a servant of Krishna. And that means everybody is all good. Even the person who is acting bad is actually, deep down, good. Now, we may not be able to appreciate that, we may not be able to change that, but we have to have that understanding. You ever heard of the power of projection? Like consciousness creates reality? When you have people walking into your office, what's the first thing you have to do before you even greet them and ask them to sit down and offer them a glass of water? What's the first thing you're going to do?
Smile.
Why do you have to smile at them? You're happy to see them? And what does that express? What's the underlying attitude which you are having towards this person? You welcome them, yes. And not just welcome in the sense of hello, welcome, and goodbye. Hello, welcome, and goodbye. Which company you work for? How much money do you make? Now get lost. Huh? Yeah, you know this kind of, you know, social dealings. Like, okay, where are you from? Who is your guru? And why the hell are you here? But something from the heart. It actually means thank you for coming here. I value you as a person. I appreciate that you have come to me. And what else you have to do is you have to actually give the person the benefit of the doubt that they're sincere, that they're serious, and that they're good people. If you don't have that ability, at one point people will stop seeing you. People will stop wanting to interact with you. Now, this course is about leadership, but also about preaching and book distribution. If you want to know one quality, if it's just one quality which you learn from this seminar, which you have to imbibe as a leader, as a preacher, and as a book distributor, is, bottom line, you have to like the people. If you truly appreciate the people, people will sense that, they will feel that. And they will actually open up to you. And they will actually trust you. And they will actually do what you ask them to do. Believe it or not. Why? Because they like you. Because they want to please you. Because they feel, hey, this is a nice person. So, what can I do for you? It's all personal relationships. Like, in India, you know, isn't half the country running on what's called favors? Have you heard of favors? I do you a favor, you do me a favor, like that. Huh? That's how half the country runs. Now, we may take that in a material context, or we may see that in a spiritual context. If we learn the art of actually truly appreciating people and ingratiating them by gratitude, by thankfulness, by giving them the doubt that they're actually serious and sincere, you know what happens? People will actually become serious and sincere. Sometimes you have people in front of you and they're kind of rough. They're not really, you know, up to scratch. But just because you deal with them in a nice way, what happens? They actually become nice people. Why? Just because you treated them nice. Have you ever had a ruffian or a person who's kind of, you know, not very sophisticated, and you dealt with the person nicely, and all of a sudden they develop good behavior, good character? Because people want to behave nicely. It's just that many times it's very hard for them to do so. Like sometimes, I'm dealing with a person and I want to distribute a book to this person. And I see that the book is not really connecting with the person. Like the person doesn't really have any interest in the book. Have you ever had that scenario? Like, it's just not commuting, you know? It's like you speak Chinese and he's speaking Tamil, you know? And it's kind of hard to communicate. You ever had that? You feel like you're not on the same page? Kind of slightly disoriented, slightly out of touch with reality. Now, what do you do then? There is two things, very powerful things, which you can do in order to actually connect to that person. Now, one is, you just show gratitude. You just start thanking the people for being here today. Thank you so much for being attentive in class. Thank you for coming out to this temple. Just start thanking the people. Try it. Like sometimes you feel you're a little bit out of touch with the people in your congregation or in your temple. People don't really hear you. Huh? Or with your student in your class. And then just start showing gratitude. What happens, all of a sudden people open up and they actually start listening to you. Because once you're actually grateful, once you're actually appreciative, people will notice. Because everybody's craving for attention, everybody's craving for affection. Now if you're very tired, please stand up. And it's okay, you can just stand, it's not a problem. I'm also standing, I'm also tired. That's why I'm walking around. And the second thing, which is a very powerful tool, and you try it. Sometimes you have people who you can see that they're not very interested in anything. They might be interested in a whole lot of different things. But I just ask them, are you more a philosopher or are you more spiritual? Now for me it doesn't matter because whatever they answer, I still sell them the same book. But it's not just a trick question. What does it do? You give them the benefit of the doubt that they're actually either a philosopher or a spiritual person. And you'd be surprised how many people will tell you, hey, actually I'm quite philosophical, or actually I'm a very spiritual kind of a guy. Some may say, I don't really understand the question. Then I just ask them, are you more about the head or are you more about the heart? And then they usually get it, no? And then they say, well, I'm more the head or I'm more the heart. And then you say, wonderful, great, you are qualified, this is for you. You try it. Now you might be management, you might say, this person here in front of me is a little bit dull. He's a little bit thick in the head, you know, and he's not really getting the point of what I'm trying to talk about. Then you can either make that expression and it goes from bad to worse, and the person becomes hostile, becomes antagonistic, becomes upset and just walks away. Or you can ask that person and you can treat him and you can say, "My dear sir, you're a gentleman and a scholar. What would you like to do for Krishna?" Have you ever asked that, the devotees under your care? What would you like to do for Krishna? Now some might say, "I don't know, I don't have a clue, you just tell me, whatever you tell me, that's fine." But a lot of others will say, "Hey, I like to do this, I like to do that, I like to do the other thing, what about this?" They say, "Yeah, go ahead, try it." Just like Prabhupada, when he came, what did he do? What was his skill? He was like that person picking up that pumpkin, that stick, that wire of string, and making the divina, no? He took all odd people and he engaged them in different ways. And there was a beautiful sound which was generated. So he had that art of taking people who were from all different kinds of backgrounds, with all different types of problems. And he didn't just tell them, "Okay, you do this, 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 and this." But he asked them, "Okay, like the first person he met on the street, who was that? Who remembers?" Hayagriva. Remember? He ran into Hayagriva. Hayagriva was an English professor. So Prabhupada said, "What would you like to do? What's your background?" He said, "I'm a professor of English." He said, "Would you like to edit something for me?" He said, "Yeah, sure, definitely. Write down my line." And Prabhupada said, "Okay, here are some manuscripts. Why don't you edit this?" Huh? Because otherwise, if people are coming to our temples, and then we just tell them, "Okay, buy books, give money, and get lost." After a time, they feel like, "Okay, what else is there to do, right? Can I clean this? No, we have hired staff. We have fixed people. Can I go and do puja? No. This is fixed pujaris. Don't threaten them, you know. They're very attached to their service and to their Mahaprasad. So what can I do?" When you come in contact with the ISKCON movement, people want to know, "What can I do for Krishna?" Why is it people go to church and to the mosque? Can anybody tell me? Why? I can tell you why. Because if you go to most of the churches or most of the mosques, I haven't been to that many, but I've heard, you know what to expect. There's a certain level of consistency. You know what I mean? You go there and you know there is prayers at these times. You know that this and this activity is going on. There's a certain level of consistency. Now if you go to, have you been to many ISKCON centers in India? Have you found it very consistent? Some of them, the bigger ones, usually are. But there's a lot of smaller ones who you might be lucky or you might be out of luck. Depends which day of the week you show up, right? So people are looking for consistency. It's like you remember the example of your very faithful and loyal gas station attendant. You frequent him for your whole life because he's consistent. He delivers quality product. So when they come in contact with ISKCON, they want consistency. They want something consistent. Now sometimes people come and they feel that they're being treated like in a business. Like I was sitting on a plane, I think it was Delhi to Kolkata, a couple of months back. No, it was Bangalore. I was just in Bangalore and I was also on Hare Krishna Hill. And I flew and next to me was a business person and he saw me in dhoti and he knew Hare Krishna and we got talking and eventually he took a Bhagavad Gita and gave me a good donation. That's not the point of the story. The point of the story is, I asked him, "So what do you think about ISKCON? I mean, honestly, just tell me. Because I can see, you know, you manage a company and you've been around the world and you know what's going on." And he told me, "You know, tell you the truth, like here in Bangalore, I feel it's just a corporation. It's just like any other business, you know. You walk in there, and there's human resource department, and there's telephone marketing. People call you up any time of the day. Do you want to give this puja, that money, that sponsorship, that donation, that thing? I feel it's like a business. And then we talked about some other temples in India. He has been to many. And he said about different comments about different things, which I don't want to mention. No need. But then he said, you know, where I really felt like I was in ISKCON? I was in Vrindavan in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And I saw those people sitting there doing the bhajan. And I felt like, hey, this is ISKCON. I felt like these guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing. I felt like, hey, this is nice. So we might be professional, we might be efficient, we might be well organized, we might be doing everything right, but we might still miss the point. What's the point? The point is, if we don't please Prabhupada, if we don't please Krishna, it's not going to happen over the long run. Because if Krishna is not pleased, if Prabhupada is not pleased, it's not going to happen over a prolonged period of time. Just like Duryodhana, his company was top. Everything was perfect. But he was missing one point. That was Krishna. He had everything else, minus Krishna. So at the end, it was not successful. So we have to make sure that in each and every of our endeavors, we actually, based on the principles and values, on the aims, on our objectives, and we actually doing it to attract people to Krishna. Now I know you're all working very hard to make a difference and to get people attracted to Prabhupada and to Krishna. But you know, education is an ongoing affair. It's not a one-time endeavor. It's an ongoing affair. Just like when you call that airline to book your ticket, what does it say? Remember on the recording? What does it say? This call is being monitored for quality purposes. Huh? So that means they're actually listening in to make sure people are giving proper service. Huh? So this is happening on an ongoing basis. There's ongoing checks and balances. So I'd like to open up the floor for discussion about character development and the importance of character development. And I'd like to hear from you whether you have any comments or additional points which you like to discuss or questions. Please. Can we have the mic up here, please?
Sometimes we understand character development to be being nice. Or, you know, we find in the bookstores, you know, how to win people and influence them, this kind of techniques. So it is mistaken as some kind of an art. But as you rightly said, that unless it is derived from Krishna and Krishna consciousness, that's not going to last a long time. Manorathya nasti dhavato bhai yashyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunaistatra samasati. So how do we connect or bring out character by our teachings of the acharyas, not just teaching techniques of being nice to people or smile at them. It's also like an aeroplane people, there are many air hostesses. They look at you nicely, what can I do for you, sir? But they're all paid people, it's not from their heart. So somehow that's really missing. How do we connect this niceness with Krishna consciousness? How do we make sure that this comes through Krishna consciousness?
Anybody likes to comment on that? Please.
The mechanical way of smiling, this may sometime we can get appreciation from the people, but long long run, if you do from the heart, you can inspire people like for a long time. That's why our character development, my suggestion is, when we meditate, we are one day or other, we have to go back to Godhead, Krishna. Actually, unless we develop the character, we cannot go back.
Just like the big blunders, the big mistakes, they were blunders of character. You know, some money has been lost, some project has been unsuccessful. That's not really major. The major losses to this movement were defects in character. If you look at the history of ISKCON, the ups and downs, you know, so many things have come and gone, but the real big blunders were character faults. Some other thoughts? So do you all agree that character development is of utmost importance? So how do we connect the niceness with ongoing devotional spiritual practice? Because many times we just become professionally nice, no courteous. There's a certain level of courtesy, like Prabhuji mentioned. In the service industry, people are paid to be nice. They may even say the right thing, but many times they do it with such an attitude that, you know, their niceness is coated with big false ego. You ever experienced that? They're like very bossy. They're trying to... So I'm asking. Yes?
As just Prabhu told, if we just question, is it please Krishna or not? Because Krishna wants Bhavagrahi Janardana, as you mentioned morning.
So how do we know whether Krishna is pleased?
Means if it is coming from heart, Krishna will be pleased. If I am just externally trying to impress the other person, just to impress the person, Krishna will not be pleased. So if we question that, is it pleasing to Krishna before we do? And before expressing, am I feeling in the heart or not? Generally we tend to have the habit of expressing than feeling in the heart.
But yes. These are feelings, you know. I mean, we're all managers here, right? We're all mature people. And we're talking here, you know. Serious stuff, man. You know? This is not going to pay your bills. This is not going to get your temple built. This is not going to get your congregation off the ground. This is not going to put gas in your tank and food in your belly. You're a nice guy, but nice guys finish last. So? Get the job done, man. Get the score. Right? Money talks, nobody walks. Have the big score. By hook or by crook. Do it. Isn't that what everybody thinks in the back of their head? Outside, superficially. Oh, okay, we're nice guys, you know. You're okay, I'm okay, she's okay. Now get lost. But I'm the best. But why is it? Which one of the principles and values are we neglecting with this type of attitude?
The last one,
10. 10, systematic training and education, yes. What else? Which other of the principles and values is this attitude offending? Honesty. We're actually quite dishonest. We're hypocrites. We're preaching one thing, but we're living in a completely different way. What else? What about devotee welfare? How many times have we sacrificed devotees for the sake of the project? Has it ever happened to you? Or have you been in a temple or in a zone or experienced a scenario where individuals' lives have been jeopardized? Where people have been put at risk or even been sacrificed just for the sake of the project. Because project comes first and people come second or last. Have you ever heard that? What does that make you feel? That makes you feel dispensable. You know what dispensable means? It means whether you're here or not, we don't really care, you know? Because there's 500 people here who are ready to take your seat. So for today, okay, we're dealing with you. But for tomorrow, we'll be dealing with somebody else. But are devotees dispensable? They're not. Why not? Why is nobody dispensable? Because each and every one, each and every individual is part and parcel of Krishna. And if we feel that this person is dispensable, actually what we're saying is, Krishna, I don't need you. I'm going to do it with or without you. And maybe without you, I'm going to do it even better because I got it under control. Because bottom line is, I'm the controller. And what's the next thing?
Enjoy.
I'm the enjoyer. Yes, exactly. Because you can't really control without enjoying. Because these two go hand in hand. They go together. Huh? But in Krishna consciousness, we're taught to be the servant leaders. And he who is the biggest servant, he's the acharya. Isn't it funny? Isn't it ironic? That the person who is giving most service to everybody, he becomes the leader. He's the person who is actually the head of the institution. He's the one who is giving his life to serving everybody else. Just like you see in your own lives, your own spiritual master, Srila Japataka Swami Maharaj, spiritual master of many of you, has sacrificed his own life. For whom? For his disciples. For the people of this world. That's why he's an acharya. So, if we see by the personal example of these devotees what it takes to appreciate others, what it takes to put oneself last, to sacrifice one's own comfort for the comfort of others, that develops a lot of gratitude. That develops, that attracts a lot of people, a lot of commitment, because they can see this person has sacrificed for our sake. So never, ever should we make the mistake of thinking or feeling or acting in such a way as somebody is dispensable. Not only because that person will be discouraged, but also because Krishna will be displeased. And if Krishna is displeased, we can do whatever we want to do. But if Krishna is not pleased, we will not be successful in our endeavors. Because Krishna is the person, the personality who makes everything successful. Like, we hear a lot of different things in these 5 days. And some of them is more digested, some of it is more raw, some of it is more theory, some of it is more practice, some of it might be straight out there, some of it might be feeling very close to heart. And how do we combine all this? How do we put all this together? What's the consensus? What's the baseline which we have in common? We're all here because we want to please Guru and Krishna. We're all here because we want to bring people to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. That's our objective. That's our aim. So, always check our attitude, our activities, our way of dealing with people, our way of management with the principles and values. Are they consistent? Or are we doing some double standard here? We might say, okay, we'll run this thing double standard for the next 3 years, you know, till we got our place built or till it's done. What's the problem with this mentality? Have you ever had such type of an attitude? Okay, for 3 years now, stop breathing. Stop sleeping. Stop eating. Stop doing anything. Just run and produce results. And then when we have the result, then we're going to change. And we're going to be the nice guys. Have you ever heard that? And why has it not happened? Can somebody tell me why?
If we cannot please Krishna today, we can't please Krishna tomorrow.
If we're not pleasing Krishna today, we're also not going to be pleasing Krishna tomorrow.
When we get success by running like this, when that like this action create another desire, the similar kind of desire, again we want to make some other project or something to.
It never stops.
Yeah.
That mood, that mentality never stops, because enough is never enough. And we'll never actually come to the point where we'll be happy and peaceful. Because we'll always see, oh, now the temple is done, but now we need the farm, and then we need the school, and then we need the village, and then we need the town and the city, and then we need to take over the world. Who had such kind of mentality?
16th chapter.
Huh?
Hiranyakashipu.
Hiranyakashipu, yeah. Exactly. So, we have to make sure that our activities are actually pleasing to Krishna. Now, how is this related to preaching? How is this related to book distribution? How can you get more preaching and more book distribution happening if you're aware of these principles?
If we know the purpose of book distribution, then we will be following these principles.
Most of the time, we understand book distribution means putting up big scores, and whether I'm fourth or fifth or first, that's what our understanding of book distribution. But book distribution, the purpose of book distribution is giving the great good fortune to a conditioned living entity to come in contact with the pure devotee of Krishna. If we think in that way, then it has so much meaning.
Thank you. Also, our members in the back, please feel free to share. This is sharing session.
In Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada wrote, if one person become pure devotee of Krishna by reading this book, then his endeavor is success. Similarly, when we distribute books, when we distribute so many books to different person, if somebody take up seriously, then if we give qualified with a proper understanding, when we distribute books, somebody may take up more seriously.
Thank you. Somebody else?
Hare Krishna. We get fast free from the ahankara.
We get free from the ahankara, yes.
Imagine that.
Vishnu says in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, victory means to bring one lost soul back to me. That is victory. And Prabhupada says in his prayer in the Markina Bhagavat, that prayer which he wrote on the board of Jaladuta when he came to America, that if by my endeavor to come here, I can make one living entity Krishna conscious, my endeavor is successful. That's quite spectacular. Now, do you remember when Prabhupada went to the West? He had some pamphlets. What did he print on those pamphlets? Who knows? What did it say on that pamphlet? Message of Godhead, yeah. And then it says Srimad Bhagavatam. How many volumes?
Three.
No, three he brought. But what? It said 60, yeah. Prabhupada came with three volumes, but he already came with the pamphlet, and he already printed 60 volumes of elaborate commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. It took him 8 years to make those three volumes, and he was 70 years old, and he came on a cargo boat, and he came with the pamphlet, 60 volumes of elaborate commentary. And on the bottom it said, ISKCON movement. No, it didn't say ISKCON movement. It said, I got it. I'll find it out. Spreading it all over the world. Something with international. Something with all over the world. It's quite amazing. show you this. So Srila Prabhupada was a visionary. He was very clear in his purpose and he knew what is going to happen. Can you hit these lights? All over the world for scientific knowledge of God. Now was Prabhupada going all over the world? He just came from India and went to New York. And here he's stating 60 volumes and all over the world. That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? A Prabhupada was a visionary. Not pie in the sky, not just dreaming, but he had his very clear plan. So, if we're making that proclamation that we want to recruit and train and educate and sustain a movement of people of ideal character, this is for real. This is actually Srila Prabhupada's prophecy. They ask him, how do we know who is your disciple? Srila Prabhupada said, if you see a perfect lady or a perfect gentleman, they are my disciples. That was Prabhupada's standard. There is no ifs, no buts, and no whens. That's just pretty clear. Huh? Perfect lady, perfect gentleman. Means, in every situation, consistent. Principle-based. Not a disgrace or a blemish on the spiritual master or on the movement. So, we like to break a little early for the last session. I'd like you all to be back here at 3:30. And the last session is called Appreciating Srila Prabhupada's Books. So I'd like you to bring your reading book, whatever book it is that you're reading right now. So can you all be back in 20 minutes and bring your reading book for the last session of today, which is Appreciating Srila Prabhupada's Books. Thank you very much. All go Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Now question, is this schedule of only having 1 hour break in the noon, is this too intense for you or is this doable? Because by practical arrangement, I think they have two main meals in the morning and then again at 5. And we'll have some rice for you at 1 o'clock. Is this okay? Can you survive like that or is it too tough? We can bump it later, but then your lunch is going to be real late. So I kind of feel bad. I like to have 2 hour lunch break, but if it's at the cost of you fasting and eating lunch at 6 o'clock, plus I know many of you have responsibilities, so you have services and projects which you need to check up on. Are you happy with the schedule, the way it's running? Any objections or complaints, please let us know. Because usually we're running 10 to 1 and 3 to 6. But because of the prasadam schedule and because many have other services here and other things they need to be doing, we're doing it 10 to 1 and 2 to 5. Is it okay? All right. So I hope you get some additional rest later on and some time for your other obligations. Thank you very much. See you back at 3:30. Hare Krishna. Were you here last time when I gave seminar? Yeah. Where I saw you last time. In? Switzerland also, he was there, yes. And Sri Rangam? Oh, that's long time back. Long time back. You came, huh? Your friend of Nirmal Kumar? How's he doing? Okay. You still going to Switzerland regularly? Where? Where is that?
Should be ambassador of goodwill, which means with our words, actions, and deeds, we are representing ISKCON, so we should be exemplary. We have to build our character. One quality which you should have is that you should like people. You should appreciate them. Show gratitude, thank people, and be consistent. Big mistakes have always been big defects in gratitude. Even this is so surprising because big mistakes are big defects in character. And many times we've been really senior goals.
I want you and my body. actually we are struggling with the details. Principally, one thing that this point is not usually brought up in the discussion. Second, and then what about the details? I need help with details.
So you are actually with
the details. Details also. How the principle has to practice.
How this concept, how this is more practical.
How
this deal with seeds. They hear it.
You'll have the details, I don't. Hey, 1 minute. Jai Gopna.
Thank you.
Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Welcome back to the fourth lesson of today. We're gonna focus on Srila Prabhupada's books in this lesson. Can somebody turn on the lights, please? Tell the people outside that we have started. Now, before we start on this lesson, I've just been informed by management that it is possible to have lunch ready by 1 o'clock. And then we could actually have a paka lunch break from 1 to 3. Who prefers to have that? To have a 2-hour lunch break and then go from 3 to 6? Who likes to just have 1-hour lunch break and go from 2 to 5? Okay, we got to have everybody, otherwise it's not counting. Okay, again, we can have lunch at 1 o'clock and then have 2-hour lunch break and run from 3 to 6, or we can have 1-hour break, go from 2 to 5, and then at 5 o'clock lunch. So who wants 2-hour lunch break? Who wants 1-hour lunch break?
It should be the convenience of the facilitator and the organizer.
Okay. So today, we did 1-hour lunch break. Tomorrow, we're going to do 2-hour lunch break. We still need these lights here. They're still missing some lights. Okay. You know what's the most important thing? When you go to fight in war, you got to come home alive. So when you go on Sankirtan, you got to come home alive. When you go to meetings, when you go to classes and seminars, you got to come home alive. So we want you to come home alive, that you're actually enlivened. Not that you feel like, oh, you know, it was really tough, it was a lot of hard work, and you know, no break, no time to... We want you to actually, you know, live like a human being. Because Krishna did the same thing. You know, every day he went out with his cows and his calves. And then some demon came. So they killed the demon. And then after that, they took lunch. And then they had some siesta. They had some nice time to rest. Right? So there was some healthy schedule there. It was not like work, work, work till you die. So we have to learn from the Lord how to do things properly. Otherwise, it's too much mode of passion. I have done marathons, and I have run 12 hours a day, and it was great. That's not the problem. The problem is, what do we do when we don't run? Are we consistent in our consciousness? Are we consistent in our dedication? Are we consistent in our Krishna consciousness? Do we become addicted? Can we only be Krishna conscious if we run 12 hours? Can we only be excited in crisis mode? Prabhu, what's the crisis? Who is the enemy? Who are we going to fight? Do you see the pattern? Do you see the scenario? Many times we put ourselves too much in this kind of mentality that we only become functional if we are in crisis mode. But that's not very good. Because as soon as you get into crisis mode, what happens? People want to get as far away from you as possible. Because nobody likes to get the heat. We just spoke about heat in Andhra, and that it's quite hot here, you know, like 45, like that. So as soon as you get into crisis mode, what happens? The heat in your body goes up. Like when you become angry, people become... You know, too much fire is there. So people want to be away from you. So we should not allow ourselves to get disbalanced. Okay, this lesson is about appreciating Srila Prabhupada's books And what I like you to do is, I like you to sit down and read for 10 hours. No, for 10 minutes. Who can sit down and read for 10 hours? Have you ever tried it? You ever chanted 64 rounds? It's quite a challenge in the beginning, no? The mind says like, hey, come on, man. 16 is the minimum. What are you doing here, you know? I mean, there's so many other things to do, right? Well, you have to try it sometime. Sit down and read for 10 hours. See how what it does to you, whether you can do it. Okay, what I'd like you to do is, it's 5 past, till 3:45, you sit down and you read Prabhupada's books. No homework, no phone calls, no spacing out, just reading Prabhupada's books. Please. Then after that, I'll tell you what comes next. There's some Bhagavad Gita's here. Now you can take it. There's more books here in the shelf. Till 3:45. Just 10 minutes. Just pick any book and read. There's many Gitas here. Who else needs a book? Please raise your hand. Okay, one more book required in the back. Also, a few more. Maybe a couple of devotees can share. If you don't have a book, just 2 people pair up together. Okay, silence, please. Thank you. Okay. So what I'd like you to do right now is I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and share the couple of points which you just have read in these 10 minutes. There's a few points, no? Which you just read. So I'd like you to share them with the person next to you, and then that person is going to share with you. So please start doing so. If it's not two people, then the three of you can be together. That also works. Just turn to the person next to you. So, what did you read? Tell me.
I read that this is actually Bhagavad Gita and this has some sort of Vrindavan. Uttava is expanded to Vidura. Our Lord. Because Lord disappeared from this world. So he was feeling ecstasy. And out of love, so he is explaining to Vidura how Krishna performed so many tasks in Vrindavan. And he explained out of Vrindavan, Mathura. So when he went to Mathura, so he killed Kamsa. So in this Parvat, Prabhupada is explaining that Krishna is a worthy son because Kamsa, he taught
Krishna is what?
Worthy son.
What?
Worthy son.
Oh, worthy son.
Worthy son. Because of the age of 16, he killed Kamsa because Kamsa, he tortured Devaki and Vasudeva. So because Lord killed them. Devaki and Vasudeva thought that. So Kamsa, now Krishna and Balram is here in Mathura. So they are thinking that. So till now we protected him. So he was hidden. Now he is here. So Devaki and Vasudeva was thinking that Kamsa will kill Krishna.
Nice.
Because then Krishna, to show that I have killed Kamsa, so he cast the hair and he
yeah.
Cast the
big
body of Kamsa.
Done. If you have not switched over, switch over. You already switched over? Okay. Not yet. Okay.
And after that, he went to learn Vedas from Sandipani.
Okay.
After learning, so generally, so when we take initiations, we should give Guru Dakshina to Guru. So you know Sandipani Muni knows who Krishna is. So Sandipani Muni asked, which is impossible to do. So he asked to bring my dead son from Yamaraj. So Krishna...
All this you read in these few minutes.
Krishna brought dead son from Yamaraj.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now I read about Okay. Try to finish up. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hari Bo. Srila Prabhupada ki. How do you like this exercise? Okay, who likes to share? Not what they read, but what they heard from the other person. Yes, you have microphone.
Hare Krishna. I was very interesting to hear what my friend told me here. Because he read one paragraph that Manusha says, so about millions only one can come to Krishna, so what is my hope? But then he read one point later that, but by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, it becomes very easy when you chant Hare Krishna, and I became very happy.
Thank you for that. Somebody else likes to share what the other person has told him.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. So Alexander Prabhu is reading Bhagavad Gita, the Transcendental Knowledge, 4th chapter. And he is telling that taking the knowledge is rising the sun and removing the darkness. The knowledge is power and is Krishna, and darkness is the ignorance. We should come out from the ignorance and we should go towards the knowledge of Krishna. How we should get this knowledge? It is possible to accept the spiritual master, bona fide spiritual master, and submissively surrender to him and do services to him. Then only it is possible to get the real knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Someone else likes to share what they have heard? We have some very quiet brahmacharis here.
So, Prabhu read a conversation of Srila Prabhupada. There is one radio conversation. One lady asked the question, what is that, what you are saying about youth preaching and all. So Prabhupada told, we are presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is. So there is a, Prabhupada mentioned Sambandha, we are bringing Bhagavad Gita and act according that is Abhideya, how to act, how to live like that, he told. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Yeah, just pass the mic, whoever likes to share.
Prabhu is reading Nectar of Instruction. And in the first verse, Prabhupada is explaining about the atonement. So what is the use of elephant bath? That is the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj to Sukadeva Goswami. And Sukadeva Goswami is telling there is no use in elephant bath. So the only atonement, real atonement, is awakening our relationship with Krishna. That is the real atonement, that Prabhu's his realization.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. The Bhaktika Mataji was reading this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, and we were reading here about the Brahmana Patnis. That is, Krishna went, Krishna and Balaram went to them, and they were asked for something from. So the main conclusion we come out of that is, we are here to perform so many, maybe we are not performing so many austerities, doing so many things, but the important thing which is really needed to have a success is the one statement is given. The Sukadeva Goswami and the wives of Brahmana performing yagya are a vivid example of the devotees who achieve the perfectional stage of devotional service by the grace of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The mercy of the Lord is very, very important, whatever we are doing in our lives for to please Krishna. That's our understanding here.
Thanks. Thank you.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Prabhu was talking about 9.29, Sammoham Sarva Bhuteshu, from Bhagavad Gita as it is. So where Krishna says, I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. At the same time, one who renders loving devotional service unto me, he is a friend in me, and I am a friend to him. And he was giving the example that a charitable person is always quite disposed with everybody, but when it comes to his child, he gives a special favor. And the other example which Prabhu mentioned about Prabhupada's quote is that a diamond and a gold. In a gold ring, if the diamond is fixed, the diamond is glorified as well as the gold is glorified. Similarly, one who is in devotional service, while the Lord is glorified, the devotees are also glorified.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Prabhuji was reading teachings of Kapiladeva, introduction, and he says some statement that one who engages in this devotional service of the Lord, for those persons, liberation is guaranteed. From Lord Kapila, teachings of Lord Kapila. And his Prabhu is reading the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It says that devotees never wish to see the universal form of the Lord because it is not eternally situated in the spiritual planet. Other avatars like Lama, Narasimha, every avataras are situated eternally. So devotees like to wish to see those forms rather than this universal form. Yes. And this Prabhuji is studying 9th chapter, 9th 24. He says, Krishna says, I am the enjoyer and I am the supreme person, supreme master. Those who do not recognize my transcendental nature will fall down, he says. So in that purport, Prabhupada says, In Vedas, Karmakanda, there are many fruitive activities, very sacrifices are prescribed for fruitive activities. So one who engages in that fruitive activities is not a real devotional service. Even if one has a material desire, if he go to Krishna and pray for material desires, that is better than worshipping demigods, it says in the purport.
Thank you. You just summarized what three people have read. Not bad. Who else likes to share what they've heard?
Srinivas Prabhu told me that he read this 11.55 sloka from Bhagavad Gita. There Lord Krishna was explaining that anyone who is in the pure devotional service platform by leaving their fruitive activities only for acting for Krishna 24 hours and by contributing whole of his energy for the satisfaction of Krishna, he can develop the love for all the living entities, and after leaving his body, he will definitely reach to the Supreme Lord.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Leela Parayan Prabhu was sharing with me, he was reading first canto preface, how he was telling the importance of preface, how in Bhagavad Gita also Prabhupada wrote a very important preface. Similarly, Bhagavatam also, it's very important preface. So in that he was sharing that how Prabhupada was very humble to tell that there are some mistakes in my writings. So please, those who are honest, understanding the importance of the message, they will accept it. Those who are thoroughly honest, that tadvag visargo janataga viplavo. So I was mainly appreciating, I read many times that preface, but I never observed that how Prabhupada's quality of accepting that there may be some mistakes, those who are honest, they will accept. Actually, Prabhupada cannot write any mistakes, but the way he was expressing. So when he told me that how Prabhupada is so humble, which I never observed, so I was appreciating him, how he is seeing Prabhupada's qualities in that, through that.
Thank you.
So, Nandagopal Prabhu is reading this Nectar of Instruction, the preface. So this book is so important for the neophyte devotees. Not only neophyte devotees, it's for the advanced devotees also. So Srila Rupa Goswami was the leader of all the Goswamis, and he gave the 11 verses, that's Nectar of Instruction, and Sikshastakam given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So to become pure Vaishnavas, So this can be followed very nicely. And by following strictly these instructions, one can become easier to make one's life successful. This is what Prabhu's realization. So always when he talks about him, just how we can advance in Krishna consciousness, that's what always he shares, his aspiration to advance in Krishna consciousness. Always likes that mood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Vanmali Prabhu, he discussed with me about the 9th chapter of Most Confidential Knowledge. In the purport, Prabhu told, in Prabhupada, he explained, if you want to know about Krishna, we have to be in the association of the devotees, we can know more about Krishna. That is a very touching point.
Thank you for that. Anybody else?
Chapter number? Your name? My friend Prasant? Prasant Shyam devotee is reading chapter number 17, Bhagavad Gita. Those who are having sattvic qualities, they are worshipping demigods and passion, mode of passion, they are worshipping demons, and mode of ignorance, they are worshipping ghosts and evil spirits or something like this, he's telling. But that is okay, but I am asking how to worship Krishna. Krishna is, we are worshipping sattvic qualities. Only we can worship. He is telling Suddha Sadvik. Suddha Sadvik is not so easy to achieve Suddha Sadvik. So this is what we are discussing.
Thank you. So did you find this exercise helpful? So I think we should be doing this on a regular basis in your Sankirtan teams, in your temple, amongst your management team, amongst friends, amongst family. Whenever you feel like there's some block, you know, like we can't progress, just say, okay, let's make an exercise here. You just take out the books, everybody reads and starts sharing. Because sharing means caring. It means you care for the other person. So, what it also does is, you really get to tune into Prabhupada's mood, into his, you know, it's the baseline, the theme. Like every drama or every song has a theme. And by reading Prabhupada's books, you plug into that theme, into that baseline, into that mood. What is the spirit? What we're trying to do here? Because sometimes, you know, we're too much into whatever we're into. So, books are the basis. What does basis mean? Like when you build a building, you know that 20% of your money will be put into the foundation. Somebody might say, you know, that's a lot of waste. It's a lot of money. You know, nobody comes to you and says, oh, you got a nice foundation in your house. They'll say, you have a nice, you know, dome, you have a nice door, you have nice chandeliers, you have nice altar. But nobody comes and says, you got nice foundation in your house. Nice basement. You don't say it like that, right? So nobody will see. You might achieve so much in your life. You put scores on the scoreboard. You build stuff. You move projects. And what you get the least appreciated for is your reading. But you know what? If you sacrifice your reading, you know what will happen? Have you seen what happened in Haiti just a few weeks ago? Some earthquake? Everything gone. 250,000 people died. Because in many tropical islands, when they build buildings, because it's not much temperature difference, so they build things quite light, you know. But then when there is some storm or hurricane or tornado or earthquake, everything falls like a deck of cards. Any of you as a kid ever tried to build a house out of playing cards? We all have, right? That's what kids do. You play. So you just take one, you move one card, everything falls. It looks very nice, but everything will fall. So in the same way, we may achieve so much in our lives, but if we don't build a strong foundation, by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and fortifying, nourishing our devotional creeper, by immersing our intelligence, purifying our intellect daily by reading Prabhupada's books, it will not stand strong. It will not be able to withstand all the assaults. And there will be challenges. There will be storms. There will be minor earthquakes and catastrophes in everybody's life. And then it is proven, did we do our homework? Did we really put the foundation in solid? So, please, I urge you, read Prabhupada's books every day. Who is reading Prabhupada's books every day, 1 hour? Anybody reading 2 hours? Wow. Somebody reading half an hour? Somebody reading one shloka? You must read. It's not, you know, this is life or death. Reading is more important than breathing. Like, we are very conscientious about our breathing, right? We're also very conscientious about our eating and our sleeping. But how much do we care about our reading? Isn't that the last thing you worry about as a manager? Isn't it? Reading is kind of like bottom of the pile, bottom of the priority list, isn't it? I mean, first, number one is what? The show must go on, right? Number two, keep everybody happy, keep everybody engaged. Fight the fires, put out the fires, take care of emergencies. Do so many things, but reading usually comes later on. But that means our priorities are kind of messed up. You know, Prabhupada put everything on hold. And he just sat down in Vrindavan. And he just studied and he wrote these books. Because he knew that unless he had books, this movement would not stand on solid ground. They asked him, why didn't you go earlier, you know? I mean, why did you went, you know? What happened? Jhansi and here and there. And his vanaprastha life was very bleak, you know? There wasn't much happening. They said, why didn't you just go earlier? Prabhupada said, never think for a moment that I wasted my time. I had to do what was necessary to research, to study, and to write these books. Because I knew if I would go to the West without books, there'd be no substance. Because books are the basis. Like many times we say bucks are the basis. You know, bucks, money. Huh? The green god. But that's not Ramachandra, you know? Green is the color of money in America. The dollar is green. So, people have their priorities messed up. And that's why things turn havoc. So reading is not if, but, when. It's a must. You can't sustain Krishna consciousness without reading Prabhupada's books. And you can't be a leader in this movement. Because you will not understand what is Prabhupada trying to tell, what is Prabhupada trying to do here, what kind of a movement did he envision, what did he wanted to achieve in this world. Why did he go to the West if we don't read? And you can't forcefully preach. Because preaching means what? It means conveying emotions. It means conveying feelings. Like I read about 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna asking his father Nanda Maharaj, why are you doing this offering to Indra? Now he's like a perfect Sankirtan devotee, you know, Krishna? He's not talking too much. He's just asking questions, you know? Why you're doing what you're doing? Is this based on Shastra? Or is this just some habit, you know? So he's asking him so many interesting questions like that. And Krishna is acting to please all his devotees, to please his father Nanda Maharaj, to destroy the pride of his devotee Indra, to please his friends, to please all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, to please Govardhan. So he's doing everything to reciprocate with his devotees. Just in a couple of verses, Prabhupada gave such wonderful explanations of who is Krishna and what's Krishna's nature and how does Krishna interact with each and every living entity. So, book distribution means You convey feeling, you convey emotions to the other person. It's not intellectual concepts. We don't go out there and argue with people about Dvaita Dvaita, Vishishta Dvaita, Shuddha Dvaita, Advaita, because most people don't have enough brain power. There's not enough RAM in the chip, you know? There's not enough RAM in there to actually get all these nuances and differences. People get lost in these things. So what we're trying to do is we try to convey our appreciation for Prabhupada's books to the people. But for that we must have realization. For that we must have appreciation. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was in South India and that Brahmin couldn't properly read. But he was seeing Parthasarathi and he was crying how much Krishna is kind that he becomes the chariot driver of his devotee Arjuna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you're Acharya, you're the teacher, you're the guru. You teach everybody about Bhagavad Gita. Now he was illiterate. So we may not be so scholarly, or we may be very scholarly. The point is, when you read Prabhupada's books on a daily basis, whatever you do, whatever you say, will have great meaning. It will carry great potency, great strength. And you try it once. When you go on preaching, you just quote straight from the books. Instead of saying so many logical things, you just speak Shastra. I think people will appreciate, especially here in South India. Still that appreciation is there. Also when you distribute books, instead of saying so many mundane things of like, yeah, this will bring good luck, and this is pious, and this and that and the other thing, which is true. But if you go a few levels higher, and you start speaking from the Bhagavatam, how this is actually the greatest fortune for humanity at large, how this is actually transforming the heart, how this is giving you the supreme benefit in life, you know, some people, they will actually believe you. And it will take the books. You're trying like that sometimes? It's working? People are reciprocating? Because, you know, in the mantra, the potency is there in the mantra. Now, when people approach you, they want to see, number one, they got three question marks on their forehead. What's the three question marks people have on their forehead? That's the bottom line. That's number three. What's in it for me? Number one is, who are you? Number two is, what's this book? Number three is, what's in it for me? If you're able to answer these three questions in the first 30 seconds, they will buy a book. Guaranteed. Money back guarantee. If you answer these questions before the person even asks the question, they will buy the book. Guaranteed. So who are you? Well, that's very easy. You are whoever you are. You might be a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, a housewife, a student, a scholar, a youngster, a businessman, a retired person. You are whoever you are. Nobody can argue with the truth. Why? Because it's the truth. That's just who you are. So just tell them, that's who I am, that's what I'm doing. What is this book? That's what we're going to discuss. How to present the books. That comes tomorrow. Today we're focusing on character. Tomorrow, the next couple of days, the next 3 days will be skills. Different skills, which will be discussed. Today we're focusing on character. And what's in it for me? What do I get out of this? What's the bottom line? Now I got a question to you, dear sirs and ladies. What are you selling and what are people buying? Does this bewilder you? Are you selling a product? Are you selling a commodity? Are you a salesman? No. So then what is it that you're selling? And what is it that the person is buying? You don't have to answer. You write down three answers to each right now. What am I selling? And what is the person looking for? What are they buying? What are you selling and what are people buying? Just like when you're on the motorway and you drive and you see all those billboards. You see all those advertisements, you know? What's the mentality behind it? What's the psychology? Okay, I'd like to hear some examples. What are you selling? Yes.
We are selling the product which will make others happy.
You are selling happiness. What else are you selling? Conviction, yes. What else?
Appreciation.
Appreciation. What else?
Knowledge.
Message of Godhead. What else? Holy name.
Solutions
to problems.
Connection of Krishna and Jiva.
Connection of Krishna and Jiva.
The highest
pleasure.
Treasure.
Yes.
How can you give the name self?
You can't. That's exactly the point. We're not selling. That's exactly the point which we're getting to. We're not selling. You see? That's why people ask us, why is there no price on this book? You know? Why is there no MRP? And then what do we tell them? Because this is priceless. Because this is a treasure. Because if you would give me the weight of this in gold and diamonds, this would be more valuable than the weight in gold or diamonds. Because this is the VIP ticket to the spiritual world. And how can you say that this is justifiable by some money? It's not. So basically speaking, we are not selling any commodity, but we are giving people the priceless gift of Krishna consciousness. We are sharing Srila Prabhupada's devotional ecstasies. We are sharing the love of Mahaprabhu and the kindness of Krishna with all the living entities in the form of these books. It's sharing. It's not selling. Because selling is the guy who runs around, you know, and he says, peanuts, 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 sugar cane, this, that, the other. Jai, 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 jai garam, jai garam. That's selling, you know. Well, we're not selling. Because even if he would pay me money, I would not sell. Because I don't. Why not? Because I don't need to. But I have received the great gift of Srimad Bhagavatam. And I like to share it with you. So I'm sure you can also benefit from this. You will appreciate this. And what are people looking for? People are not looking for a product. They can go to a bookstore. So many bookstores, so many places they can buy books. Why do our books not sell so well in stores? Because it's the person. They're actually buying the person. They actually want the exchange with the devotee. They actually want to feel the connection, the inspiration, the love, the encouragement, the attention, which a salesman cannot give you. That's why even you put Prabhupada's books in stores, they usually don't sell so well. Because the salespeople are just, you know, they're not interested. And Krishna does not want himself to be sold by somebody who is not interested in him. That even goes for us. If we're not very interested in Krishna and we just want to move product, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, we are not construction workers. We are not just carrying bricks and sand and cement. No. We are distributing the holy name. We are distributing love of Godhead. And the price, what's the price for this priceless gift?
Faith.
Sincerity. A little eagerness. Just a slight little touch of interest. That's all we're asking for. That's the only price people can pay. Nothing else will do the trick. Just like, have you ever noticed sometimes people are very smart and they say, oh, okay, this book is 100 rupees, but you say half price, 50 rupees. I'll give you 30 rupees. Okay? You ever had that experience? No matter how much discount you give, they want more discount. And the people who give you the least amount of money give you maximum amount of trouble. Right? Even sometimes they come back and they say, I want refund, you know. I think you cheated me. I gave you too much money. Now, it's funny. Now, sometimes devotees are very magnanimous, you know. They say, hey, you know what? Take it for free. It's a gift. It's for you. Take it. And then you know what happens sometimes? Some of these people who got for free, they become devotees. And they're still here today trying to pay back that book which they took for free. Isn't it? Sometimes they think, let me get for free. Huh? Prasad for free, let me eat so much, or let me get this book for free or cheap. And still today, to this day, they're trying to pay back what they took from Prabhupada. So, never think that you're selling a commodity. Never think that people are buying a commodity. This is priceless. Otherwise, if we get into this whole buying and selling mood, then it becomes mundane. And many people will say that, you know, I'm not a salesman. I can't do this. I am of a different nature. You know, my background is like this, like that. And salesmen, you know, salesmen are not very high regarded, especially in India. In the West, more. But here in India, right, if you're selling some stuff, people don't really take you that seriously. It's not a very honorable profession. But then again, being a servant, is being a servant a very honorable profession? Like the servant, what is the servant? I was just in Chaupati, Radhi Gopinath Mandir, you know, I stayed there in the guest house on the fourth floor. And if you walk down the stairs, on every flight of stairs, there's a guy sleeping. It's a servant, you know? He belongs to the apartment. He kind of lives there, right in front, outside, and under the staircase. So is being a servant very honorable? Is that very highly esteemed profession? Now what is our aim? What is our aspiration? Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamale or Dasa Dasa Anudasa. We don't want to become the servant. We want to become the servant of 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 the gopis who are the servants of Srimata Radharani who is serving Krishna. So, even though we might be engaged in activity which is not exactly according to our nature. I mean, let's face it. None of us were born as managers, as administrators, as book distributors. But we're doing whatever is necessary in order to try to please Krishna. But if you want to attract people to the books of Srila Prabhupada, you have to feel strongly about these books. And that comes from reading, from studying, scrutinizingly. Because when people meet you, they want to know. You know, how do you feel about this? Is this, you know, is this really important? Should I take this seriously? And when you're able to convey that meaning, that feeling, you'll be able to convince people. And that's why I ask you, turn inside in your heart. How are you feeling about Srila Prabhupada's books? How are you feeling about the BB team? How are you feeling about ISKCON? You know? Just ask yourself these questions. Because sometimes we have a kind of so-so relationship, or it's kind of neutral, or it might be kind of, you know, this is the corporate, they're producing the, you know, the books, and we kind of get it from them. But if you realize that Srila Prabhupada, you know, in his heart there was two sides. You know, there's ISKCON and the BBT. And the blood has to go in both chambers of the heart. Otherwise, it doesn't really function well. So, Prabhupada gave a lot of emphasis on book production and book distribution. He wanted this to be done. So we should rack our brains how we can make it happen. Now the primary reason why people are not taking these books, what's the primary reason? Why people are not taking? No, that's not not sense gratification, not time. We don't have the desire to give it. I would call it a lack of trust. It's a lack of trust. Like if you go to a store and you want something, and you got money in your pocket, but you're not going to buy, because mainly it's because of a lack of trust. You don't feel that this product or this person or this service will actually satisfy your need. Now you have to understand, there always comes, first is the need, and afterwards is the product. The product serves and satisfies the need. What is the need in this case? Everybody is looking for knowledge. Because we're Satchidananda, we're looking for knowledge eternally in bliss. So, these transcendental literatures are satisfying this inherent need of the living entity for knowledge. Because it's the nature of the soul to be knowledgeable, to have knowledge, to be cognizant. But because we're covered over, we're lacking this knowledge, and that's why we're looking for knowledge. But we're looking in all the wrong places. Like every country I go to, every place I go to, the first argument I hear, I step in the car and I ask the devotee who's driving me, what are your biggest obstacles for increasing book distribution? And I always hear the same stupid three answers. Number one, top of the tops. People don't read here. You ever heard that argument? Oh no, we're in the south here, you know, people don't read. Or we're here in this country or in that country, people don't read. And then you go to the train station, you go to the buses, you go around, and you see what are people doing. Everybody's reading, isn't it? Magazines, newspapers, books, emails, SMS. Everybody's reading constantly. So that argument, scrap it, because everybody's reading. Number two, no money, right? People don't have money. Have you lately been to town? Have you seen the kind of motorcycles and scooters and cars people are driving? The malls which are coming up all over India? Can you imagine how much money people are spending on a daily basis? Even for things they don't need? Why? Just to get some appreciation. Just to feel a little bit important. Just to get some reciprocation with the salespeople. You know, many people are lonely out there, and they define their lives just by what they drive and what they eat and where they go and where they shop and what they wear. It's very important to them because people are selling and buying dreams. But that's not what we're doing. We are not selling dreams. We're giving people solid information about Krishna and about the spiritual world. So, think about these issues and be clear, crystal clear, about what you're trying to project. Because remember, consciousness creates reality. Whatever is in your mind, in your consciousness, that's what you're going to project. And I know some people feel very uncomfortable about the word selling. And I feel so too, because I'm not a salesman. I just like to go out and to share my experience, my happiness, and my joy with others. And I like other people to reciprocate. Because when you read Rupa Goswami and he says, Tadati prati grinati guyamakyati prichiti bhunkte bhujayate chayam shadvidim pridilakshanam. Do you think this only is amongst devotees? No. This is what's going on. This is life. This is what's happening in a civilized society. That people share and people exchange gifts of love. They give food and they receive food. They give gifts, receive gifts. They share their minds and they receive good counsel and information. That's what you're doing when you go on Sankirtan. So don't see it that I'm a book salesman. See it I'm doing Dadati Pratigrinati Guyamakyati Prichiti. You feel comfortable with that? That works, right? But going and selling something doesn't work because it's not what we're doing and it's not our nature. And nobody will be able to do it for long. Because selling is a tough job, you know? Selling is a tough profession. Any questions or comments on this topic? Yes, Prabhu.
We were talking about Dadari Pradigranati. Okay.
Yes.
Everyone has their own areas of interest. Why one should prefer only books, and that too Krishna conscious books?
Because books is not just paper and ink and rubber and color, but books stand for values. There's values and principles enunciated here. Like in the material world, when people go out there, it's not about the car and the motorbike and the clothes and the drink and the apartment and the sofa. People are buying into a value structure. They're buying into an idea that I am this body and I can enjoy by taking nicely care of the body. That's the bottom line. That's why we don't read mundane media. That's why we don't watch the news or go to the movies. Because the bottom line is sense gratification. Like Prabhuji was saying, it's all about sense gratification. Now if people look at this book, does this look like sense gratification to you? Not exactly, huh? I mean, there's somebody dancing on snakes here. But, you know, where is the girl? Right? Girl is missing. So, this, you know, this will not sell really well. So you might say everybody is into something different, whatever they're into. But basically, there are two choices. There's Krishna and there's Maya. But everybody's looking for happiness. Isn't it? I mean, let's get a consensus here. What are you trying to achieve? Everybody looks for happiness, right? That's why we go to work. That's why we struggle. That's why we endeavor. That's why we bother to have relationships. That's why we get out of bed, right? We're looking for happiness. Now, the means, the way how to achieve that happiness, there are different processes. There are different strategies to go about that happiness. And what real happiness consists of, there's also different, you know, different perceptions. But we're not going about, you know, public opinion, vox populi, or lowest common denominator, but we are accepting Krishna's standard of happiness. We are accepting the Acharya's standard of pleasure, because that is the real reality, that is the true nature of things. So even though the person might be unfortunate, the person might not exactly appreciate. It's like you might be working in a mental asylum and somebody thinks that they're Subhash Chandra Bose, and another person thinks they're Napoleon, another person thinks that they're Mahatma Gandhi, and they're busy running around giving big speeches and doing so many things. And the doctor has to go there and has to deal with them and has to take care of them, give them medicine. Now, will the patient appreciate? Usually not. Like nobody really likes if you give them advice. Now, I can tell you, if you want to be a successful manager, if you want to be a leader who everybody will love you, you have to do four things. You can write that down. Ask everybody for advice. Give them appreciation. Give them money. And do what they tell you to do. Everybody will love you. Do what they tell you to do. If you want people to hate you, just in case, if you want that people will hate you. Give everybody advice. ask people for money, ask them to follow your direction. And what was number four or number three? Yeah. What's the opposite? Tell them what's wrong with them. Point out their mistakes. Everybody will hate you. It's a very sure system. Now the point here is that we like to be appreciated. We like that others appreciate us, right? That's our nature. That's natural. But not at the cost of sacrificing our principles and values. So we are not here just in the mutual admiration society where we go, yeah, you're okay, I'm okay, we're all okay, everybody's a nice guy, and we all go home happy. Now sometimes, Srila Prabhupada is using hard words in his books, and some people get upset. But we have to see it as such that the doctor, when he is talking to the patient, he has to tell the patient very clearly what is his condition. Because blowing on the boil will not really alleviate the suffering or the pain. That's not mercy. Now taking your thumb, your finger, and sticking it into the boil, that's also not mercy. But taking care of the problem, that is mercy. So proper management means you can take care of the problem, and sometimes it will hurt, but eventually it gets better. So what's the underlying motivation? What's the underlying motive? What's the actual attitude, which is very important? I have a friend, he's an Ayurvedic doctor, Bhaktirana Hospital. And some youngsters were there, and they were interested in becoming Ayurvedic doctors. So I asked him, what is the bottom line? What kind of a quality do you have in order to be a good doctor? What is it that actually makes a difference between a good and a bad doctor? He said, you have to be able to feel the pain of others. If you're not able to feel the pain of the other person, you can't be a doctor. And in the same way, if you can't feel the suffering of the living entity, you can't be a preacher. You can't be a book distributor. And you can't be a leader in this ISKCON movement. Because this movement is for caring about people. And devotees are also people. So we also have to care for them. Hey Krishna, thank you. Aristotle, the Greek philosopher, once said, first practice the virtues, then they become second nature habits. First practice the virtues, then they become second nature habits. So right now we have a bunch of habits in our own lives, and we might not necessarily like them all so much. But that means we can change them also, because habit is something which we acquired over time. So if we practice new habits, we learn new habits, by doing so, they will become second nature. Just like right now, for most of you, book distribution is not a regular service. Book distribution might not even be part of your life at all. But if you consider it a virtue, if you consider it something desirable, something which is actually good, something which is meaningful, something which can make a difference in your life and in the lives of other people, then you will start practicing it. And what happens? Gradually, 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 it becomes a habit. Huh? Now, I know many of you think, oh, I've got so many things to do, and this is probably like reading, you know. It's way down on the scale of things which I'm going to do. But let's see it in a different way. Does it matter to you that you got a book of Prabhupada? How many of you came to this movement because of a book of Srila Prabhupada? Did it matter to you that somebody gave you a book? Huh? I mean, you feel pretty strongly. I mean, thanks, that devotee, that he took his time and effort. Now, did it matter to you whether that devotee sold 50 or 500 or only one book that day? You don't care. One book would be enough. Just your book, right? Now, if that devotee would have thought, you know, today is one of these days, you know, everything goes like these bad hair days. Sometimes, you know, like you can't even tie a knot in your sikha. You put tilak and it goes all wrong. And then it's all perfect. And then you put your shirt on and it smudges and it's all over your face. Does that ever happen to you? Like some days you just get up and you know it's one of these days. Trouble is in the air. Now, you can do different things. You can just pray to Guru and Krishna and say, okay, Lord, I know I'm unqualified, I know I'm fallen, but still, please empower me to be a worthy recipient of your mercy and let me try to do the best I can, even though I'm very unqualified. Or we can just say, hey, today is a bad day, I won't even get out of bed. You know, some people, they don't even go out of the house because they just feel today is just not a good day for whatever reason. But as you all know, life must go on, right? And we have to deliver a consistent service, so we have to go out and do our duty. And that means we have a service attitude. We have a service spirit. So people are not looking so much for proficiency. They're not looking so much for skill. They're not looking so much for book knowledge. They're more looking for sincerity, conviction, and authenticity. Are you authentic? Are you for real? That's what people want to know. And that is something each and every devotee has to work on in their own lives. Because that is the actual bottom line. Just like many times in our movement, we see, especially second generation devotees, which means our children. Some of them are not that actively engaged in devotional practice, but they have a great sense of what's right and what's wrong. And they have another great sense of what's authentic and what's artificial. They've got that gift. Krishna has given them that gift. So, in our spiritual practice, are we authentic? Are we sincere? That is the question. And that is something which we have to ask ourselves on a regular basis. Because that is the measurement, that is the yardstick by which people will assess our performance. Now in the next couple of days we'll speak more about assessing performance and how to deliver and how to convey. But today was all about the character of an ideal ISKCON representative. Did you feel that we touched on some subjects here? You felt we get anywhere? You have some additional points which anybody would like to share with us? What do you feel was not covered on in depth or something which goes on in your head or heart which you like to share? Please. Microphone, please.
It's really nice discussion because every one of us appreciate character. But if we had spent a little more time probably on how to develop that character, we did, but few points here and there we touched.
Sure.
Maybe how really, in a practical manner, how do we develop that character?
Thank you for that. Anybody like to comment on that? How do you develop the character? What builds your character?
Devotion, bhakti.
Bhakti, devotion, yes.
Sacrifice.
Determination. These are all qualities, but how do you develop that? I mean, practically. We're all here, yes. Follow the Acharya's instructions. But come on, guys. We're here, you know, we're doing this. We're in this together. Work with me, people. We're all in the same boat, pulling on the same rope. We're here for years, decades, and still, sometimes we feel like I'm falling short, you know, looking at my own life. How do we practically do this character development?
As we were discussing about the criteria for recruitment, and you said that loyalty and gratefulness, these two things. So, if we want to develop these two things, then I believe that by reading Srila Prabhupada books and by doing our sadhana nicely, automatically the other things would follow.
Okay.
The character building.
Character building happens by impeccable sadhana. Can you agree on that?
Yes.
Yes. What else?
Be loyal and grateful to Krishna.
Be loyal and be grateful to Krishna. Yes. What else?
And identify the necessity to build up character. Why we have to?
First there is a need. Then there is a...
want to give Krishna consciousness to others, then when we want to give, then what is the qualification to give? All these things when we understand deeply and we pray to Krishna very sincerely, then totally. Mm.
Thank you. Please.
It's really nice to hear the answers that somebody said, loyalty and being grateful to Krishna, or loyalty, we discussed about loyalty and gratefulness, but somehow if we really examine in our lives, most of the time the loyalty that is talked about is loyalty towards ISKCON.
Institution.
Institution. Or loyalty towards Prabhupada. That's fine, loyalty towards ISKCON, loyalty towards Prabhupada, but really still we are not getting into the reality of it. You know.
So go deeper.
Yeah. I would like to hear. You're asking me?
Yes.
Okay. It's really nice when we get to the, you know, bottom of these qualities. Really very interesting. I was just discussing with Rupesh Chaitanya Prabhu that I was reading in the reading session. Krishna, he says in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, devotional service, what he likes in his devotee. And he lists about 20 qualities. The first quality that Krishna says is Adveshta, means one who is non-envious of others and is a kind friend to everyone.
So how do we develop this Adveshta?
Yeah, how do we develop that? My understanding of this is that we say, all glories to Krishna, all glories to Acharyas. But if we can't do that with the fellow devotees that we are living with, or that's one level, but before that, we should very clearly identify what is my inspiration in Krishna consciousness and who is that inspiration. And that inspiration should be someone where I can exchange my inspiration with that person, and it should be an active reciprocation must be there. Without that active reciprocation, that inspiration is just a feeling, but it is not an ongoing feeling. Like I have an inspiration of Prabhupada, my inspiration is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, etc. But unless we are able to feel that inspiration through the fellow devotees, or through your own spiritual master, or through your own Siksha Guru or Deksha Guru, whoever it is, that you can actively communicate or feel inspired regularly, it doesn't get to the reality of things. So my understanding is that community of devotees who are focused on developing qualities is a great source of inspiration for every one of us to, you know, to develop these Vaishnava qualities. For that, beautiful Vaishnava relationships are required. A devotee can see other devotee with respect and gratitude. Then, as you said, the benefit of doubt. It's such an important quality to see another person with the benefit of doubt. But right now our...
Even the next level above that is that you only see the good qualities.
Yeah, even above that.
And
yes.
Even the other things you don't see it.
Yeah, you don't see, yeah.
Because that's not what you look for.
Right. So I feel that our community which is focused on this developing beautiful Vaishnava relationships, the basis of developing Vaishnava relationship is not being envious of others, which Krishna wants. There is a preliminary thing that Krishna wants.
He talks about it again and again.
And we hear there are six enemies: Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsara. Matsara is the last one. Enviousness is the last one to go. So unless we develop love for devotees of Krishna, we cannot get rid of this Matsara.
Very good. Thank you for that. So how to get rid of our enviousness? We might be envious of the fellow devotees. How to get rid of that envy? You may think, why does he have the big house, the big car? Huh? Why is he so successful? Why not me? Why is he the president? Why not me? Huh? Why does he have four kids? Why not me? Huh? Why does he have four sets of clothes? Why I only have two? Huh? Like that. And that envy will destroy our ability to actually appreciate other devotees. So how do we destroy that envy? How we get rid of it? By serving those people who we're envious of. And you know what's funny? We're not just envious of the fellow devotee. We're not just envious of the people out there. We're envious of Krishna. We think, why is he up there with all the beautiful girls? Huh? Why not me? Huh? Why is he getting all the good food? Why not me? I have to do the fasting and he's having the fun? This is just not right. Isn't that what the mind says? Huh? You see the fellow on his big fancy car, with his nice mobile, with his nice jewelry, with her nice dress, and you think, why does she have all that stuff? Why not me? Huh? And what happens in that moment? You become unable to benefit that person. Because you want to take from that person. You want to destroy that person. That is our basic envy, which is there in our heart. Now actually getting to the bottom of things, which we are slowly, slowly working towards, is to destroy that envy. And that happens by practically serving, actively serving the other devotees. Now all of you are serving other devotees in the capacity of leader, in the capacity of Sankirtan devotee, of pujari, of temple commander, and also as father, as mother, as friend. That's service. And that service is very wonderful. Because not only does it destroy the envy in the heart, but it attracts Krishna's kindness, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's attention. And that's what we want. That's the bottom line. By our efforts, by our sincere efforts and appreciation of other devotees, we would like Krishna to take interest in us. So that Krishna shows, Krishna casts a merciful glance on us. And if that happens, one drop of the nectar ocean of Lord Nityananda is enough to make all of us drown in the ecstasy of love of Godhead. Now, do you believe that? Oribo! That is what we're looking for. That is why we're here. And that enviousness has to be eradicated from the heart. And that's why preaching and that's why book distribution is such a practical activity. Because it means, I am your servant. I'm here to serve you. How can I help you? What can I do to make your life better? Like that. Yes, please. Yes. Thank you. Microphone.
Yes, regarding this quality and the enviousness, Prabhupada gives us example. So devotee should be like a humble bee to see the only the good qualities. It goes only to the fragrant flowers to take the honey, and devotee should not be like a normal flies. It goes to a filthy place. So like you said that we should see only the good qualities among the devotees, and we should, by seeing the good qualities among the devotees, we can compare that good quality I don't have, so I have to develop my character. How to develop is one of the...
Impossible.
Yeah?
Impossible.
Impossible. And he says the envious person is more dangerous than the snake. He says, compares the example, Srila Prabhupada's example. Just share. Thank you.
Thank you. Somebody else who likes to make some additional points?
Regarding character development, generally our Vedas instructing that we should be under supervision of our either Siksha Guru or Diksha Guru. Some head must be there as a house. There will be a father like that in our devotee association. Definitely every day, even after all the services, if we can have some time to share with everybody, and whatever the day we have done, the things when we share each other, so definitely it will make more easy to get removed if we have any dirt in our heart. That will also make free, and also it will appreciate like this Prabhu has done this service and this Prabhu has done that service. So like that it will become in a devotee's manner it's okay, but what about that the temple leader and where he has to submit?
Yeah. So we should also have an association. Not that at one point you are just, you know, oh, okay, nobody's around and it's kind of lonely at the top, you know, and my next authority is maybe 5,000 miles away, so I'm only answerable to God and to nobody else. That's very lonely, you know. That's very sad. It's like our tradition. When Lord Chaitanya's time, Haridas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, every day they used to come back and give reports. No, this happened, that happened. We met this fellow, we met that fellow. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to take their report and used to give them encouragement like that. It's very important.
So,
otherwise, where do we go for comfort?
So as a head of the family, if he's happy, if he's getting a real dose for him, so the entire yatra will take lead. Of course, if we self-realized that kind of personality is no problem. But initially, definitely, everybody need, because we are all out of love and care. Definitely, we need the encouragement. So that I am expecting from one decade. So it's starting the second decade. So by this Vaishnava's mercy, so if we can get some kind of lovely exchanges among them.
That's what devotional exchanges means. It means your environment, which is a safe environment for hearing and chanting, for revealing your mind, for speaking about Krishna, and for appreciating other devotees. We're in a non-envious attitude, in an attitude of humility and service. One is appreciating others, and one is getting nourished and encouraged in devotional service. And that has to happen. And that has to be there. Not that we think, oh, I'm a Sankirtan devotee, brahmachari, I can only associate with book distributors. Or I'm a temple president, I can only associate with temple presidents. You know? Or I'm a old fellow, or I'm a young fellow, or I'm a this, or I'm a that. But where the devotees get together, and irrespective of their service, of their background, of their position in society, they share with each other their hearts, about their realizations in Krishna consciousness. That is istagosti. That is required, because that will build our strength. That will build our communities. And from there you can go out with great strength and vigor and expand Krishna consciousness. But if we are weak at home, then we can't be strong outside in the field. Now what happens many times is that we do not find such environments. We do not find these kind of loving and caring and trusting environments. And then we create our own little cubicles, our own little units of either me and my mind, or me and my spouse, or me and my sense gratification, or me and my independence. That's very dangerous, because we see ourselves separate from the association of the devotees. That's why Sankirtan, Samyak Kirtan, means the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. This is a team sport. This is a team effort. This is not a one-star kind of an activity. So right now, we're not looking for the one self-effulgent acharya. We're looking for team players. Because we have seen so many institutions who failed, especially in Kali Yuga, because of that. Because they put everything on one card, and that didn't hold up. Because Krishna wants everybody to come up. Now there's different systems, there's different, you know, ways of doing it. But Prabhupada instituted our system as the GBC, and also that all devotees amongst themselves have to have these loving relationships. And nobody can say, oh, you can't talk to me, you know, I can't share my mind, you know, because this person, he joined 2 years after me, so why can I tell him, you know, what is my realization? He will be bewildered. Like right now, here, I am telling you a lot of things which happened in my life. Some of it is not so glorious, you know. Some of you might think, what is this? You know, this fellow, he tried to cheat in paying taxes, and he did this, he did that. I can tell you some more stuff, which will really bewilder you. I won't, but I'm just telling you. I don't have a problem with that. Why? Because I see that there is not a single blade of grass which moves without the sweet will of the Lord. I see that Krishna has, through his kindness, through his mercy, allowed me to make a lot of mistakes in my life. And some of them are very painful. Some of them, I'm not so proud about them. But I will still share them with you, if it can help you, that you don't have to make the same mistake. Then it was worth it to go through that suffering. Then I'm happy that I had to make that experience, if it can help others. That means being in an environment where you feel like you're accepted, you're cared for, and you're appreciated. Yes?
Finally, I would like to share one more thing. It is not that the temple authority cannot share his feelings or anything, but definitely there will be some, it cannot be shared with fellow devotees, I mean other devotees. It is not that saying that his authority or they are lower, it is not grading wise, but as their responsibilities. So if there is, you know, in a house, if the children become fear, they will come to father and the parents. And if the parents itself, they are having some, you know, fearfulness or something, if they are not,
they cannot go to the children.
No. The children, then the entire family will be fearful.
Yes.
This is what I will...
Everybody needs shelter.
Yeah,
shelter. Everybody needs protection.
Yeah.
Everybody needs nourishment and love and care. That's true for everyone. And that means everybody works under somebody. Even if you're a big guy, you're still working under somebody. Because if you're not following somebody, that means you're following your own mind and senses. Because in this movement, we are followers. And who is the leader? Who is the acharya? He who is the best follower. Who is the pure follower. Now Srila Prabhupada said, and my Guru Maharaj has left 40 years ago, but there is not one moment where I do not feel in the presence of my Guru. He's always present with me. Like I know many of you are in separation because your Guru Maharaj is not here and he's taking care of his health so he can serve you better. And people would have loved, oh, let's go to Mayapur, have a big Vyasa Puja. But it could not happen. because of facts which are known. And we have to accept it. But are we becoming despondent? Are we becoming upset? Why isn't he coming, you know? Why isn't he writing me letters? I've heard people talk like that. And I don't have a personal relationship with my guru, you know? He's not there for me. What do you think he's doing? He's constantly giving information, constantly giving instructions for each and every one of us. So, there is Vani and Vapu. Vapu may not always be present. And Vapu may also not always be appreciated. But Vani is always there. So we should absorb ourselves in the instruction of Srila Prabhupada and of the Guru. And in this way we'll always be very close to him. And that's one thing which you're forced to learn when you're on book distribution. The Prabhupada is always there with you. Your Guru Maharaj is always right there, right next to you, looking out for you and helping you. Because frankly speaking, alone, you can't do this. You just can't. Because people don't want. They want to forget Krishna. They want to get rid of Krishna. They want to be as far away from Krishna as possible. Tirupati has the highest meat consumption of any city in India. Huge alcohol problem. Why? Because people want materialistic life. They want sense gratification real bad. But you know what's funny? If your desire to give them Krishna and to give them Prabhupada's mercy is stronger than their desire for sense gratification, they have to take it. They can't help it. If you pray to Krishna and to Prabhupada in your heart, the Prabhupada, please, if I have ever served you, if I have ever been austere, if I've ever chanted, if I've ever studied, if I've ever done devotional service, take all that sukriti, take all that benefit and give it to this person so he can take a book. That person has to take a book. You've ever tried like that? Do you ever really wanted somebody to become Krishna conscious? To really want them to become a devotee? Try it. See what it does to them and to you. It's quite an interesting experience. But these are very valid points, very important points. And there has to be a forum where the leaders can get together on a regular basis. I was just in Melkote with some of my senior god brothers on a retreat with Radhanath Maharaj, and we had a very nice session there. And it was very helpful because you have to get together with like-minded individuals periodically on a regular basis and discuss the issues which are concerning all of you. It's very important. Because then you see we're on the same page, you know. We're in the same boat, rowing in the same direction. Some might be sitting in the front, some might be sitting in the back, some might be, you know, on the bottom, shoveling, like that. But everybody is helping the same mission. Yes, concluding words. Wow, we're working overtime. But we started late this morning, remember? How late did we start? 15 minutes? Huh? Okay, we're making up for that.
Hare Krishna.
We want to give you your money's worth, you know? Not that you say, this guy cheated us out of 15 minutes, you know? Please.
Leaders having the problem to share their thoughts sometime. For that solution is when we sincerely pray for senior association, either by course or by personally some senior devotee may visit to us, somehow or other we get that senior association. Because in the leaders they are top in their place. For that, always, you told in the beginning of the course, your father is, even though he is 60 years old, he is going 2 weeks per year for training. Similarly, when we have strong desire, we get senior association, senior guidance, appreciation, everything. Hare Krishna.
So if we want it, it's available. Thank you. Can somebody hit the lights? Because we want to hear Srila Prabhupada's conclusion on the topic. sorry for the short delay. Be right with you.
Here, everyone is engaged to rise early in the morning for offering arati to the deity. They are preparing nice food, they are decorating, making garland, so many engagements. They are going for sankirtan party, they are canvassing, for selling wood, 24 hours engagement. Therefore they are able to give up this sinful life.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. See you back here tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock sharp, 42nd day of the Book Distribution and Leadership course. Hare Krishna. Hare Bo. So tomorrow we'll run 10 to 1 and 3 to 6. Please take your student handbooks and please write your names on the front of your student handbooks. The books are from here. Please leave them here in the room. We're still going to need them. And your student handbook, please take them with you because you got homework to do. Hari Hari. Thank you. Thank you.